Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, a very, very happy new year from the heart of Prashanthi Nilayam, from Radio Sai. And today, Prashanthi is bubbling with energy and activity. You have so many people who want to start their day, want to start their new year with the darshan of Bhagwan. And before I go on, I want that we listen to that voice which will make our lives beautiful. If we want a happy and holy and a blessed and beautiful new year, what better way to start the new year than listen to the one whose touch makes our lives beautiful.
ప్రేమస్థలారా, అందరికి శాంతి సౌభాగ్యంగా సంతోష సదుపాయంగా జీవిస్తారని ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తున్నాను.
భగవాన్ విషెస్ ఆల్ బ్లెసెస్ ఎవ్రీబడీ టు లీడ్ ద లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ పీస్ అండ్ ప్రాస్పెరిటీ ఇన్ దిస్ న్యూ ఇయర్.
Saram, dear listeners, and wish you a hearty, happy, holy and beautiful new year.
Loving Sairam from all of us at Team Radio Sai in Prashanthi Nilayam, India.
So that was the Lord himself wishing us, and we can be sure that the new year is going to be beautiful. This is in fact a very landmark year in the Satya Sai Mission, and it is going to be a landmark year in our lives also. Once we attune ourselves to Him, we would know, we would see, and we would feel how this year will open up doors that were hitherto seeming closed to us. And today, as I was mentioning to you, it's such a special day, not only because it is the New Year day, but also it is a Thursday, and as you probably might have heard, today is Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. And it is for this reason that as an exception, as a unique opportunity, this morning Bhagwan Sannidhi was opened in the early hours. At 5:10 you could have the darshan of Bhagwan in the Sai Kulwant Hall as the Omkaram and Suprabhatam was on. What a beautiful way to begin January 1st, 2015. Just calm your mind. Fill your soul with His divine light. Bask in His love. Away from everything that only distances us from Him. Just cling to His lotus feet, hold His hand, bask in His vibrations and begin the new year. So that is how January 1st, 2015 began in Prashanthi Nilayam with the darshan of Bhagwan. And after that you had the Nagar Sankirtan. And for the benefit of devotees, the darshan session was opened after the Nagar Sankirtan again, from 6:20 to 7 a.m. And now devotees could go near Bhagwan Sannidhi, could touch Him, offer their prayers and fill their hearts. I remember talking to a devotee from Germany many years ago. About 2 years ago, there were 400 Germans who had come and they were here on a Parthi Yatra. And I asked him, how do you feel different now than the time when Bhagwan's physical form was there? And the perspective that he had was something I had never expected or imagined. He said, you know what, earlier when I used to come, I would stay for 10 days and it would be so difficult to get a glimpse of Bhagwan. It would be so difficult to go near Him. It would be so difficult to touch Him. today, believe me, every time I place my head at Bhagwan's Sannidhi, I know I am touching His feet. For all the 10 days that I am here, I am getting Pad Namaskaram every single day. And every time I bow down, it is like a burst of cosmic energy that is just enveloping me. And when I sit inside Kurvant Hall, I can feel that ecstasy of being with Him. What else do I want? So that is what Prashanti does to us. That is what Bhagwan has done and continues to do to each one of us. And as I was telling you, today is a very, very auspicious day, the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. And in the Satya Sai avatar, the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day has very special significance. It is the day when Swami would take a party of devotees to the banks of Chitravati and create a small jar filled with amrit or nectar, which He would personally distribute to all present. In the Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Professor Kasturi writes about this day in 1963, and he says, on the 6th of January 1963, that day was called as the Amrutodbhavam day, because as I mentioned, the divine nectar emanated from Bhagavan's hand. Professor Kasturi says that the day is observed as the day when the gates of heaven are opened for all in the great Vaishnavite temple, Srirangam, where the Lord as Ranganatha, the director of the world stage, presides over the drama of birth and death with a few scenes of living in between. For those who are near this Srirangam, near the Sriranga, who is Sairanga in human form, the gates of heaven open when He gives them the nectar that Bhagwan Himself creates. And Professor Kasturi goes on to describe that day, and he says, on 6th of January, Baba took many devotees to Mahabalipuram on the eastern sea, a place where the waves whisper to man the wonderful tales of long ago. It is a place allowed by centuries of history. Here, chisels held by the left hands, inspired by Karma Yoga, directed by eyes sparkling with the light of Bhakti Yoga, trained by brains illumined by Jnana Yoga, have shaped rebellious rock into rapture-filled paths. And he goes on, when the party settled around Baba on the seashore and began singing bhajan songs, the waves must have recalled bygone days when the temple deities of Tamil Nadu were installed for worship on the seashore, and the shore was filled not with picnic-minded crowds but with the masses of devout hearts and humble seekers of God. And Professor Kasturi now goes on to his poetic mode, and he says, they surged one behind the other in serried ranks to catch a glimpse of Baba and to hear the lilt of the song divine. Even the elephant, deer and monkeys carved in stone strained to escape from the rock and sit around. Baba created that evening three charming idols of Vishnu, Narayana and Krishna. And when the group of devotees around Him were exulting over their luck, He says, the mute image of Arjuna doing penance must have turned and folded hands in a sudden inspiration to pay homage. The three idols, Baba explained, symbolize the sattvic aspect of God, the aspect that confers amrita or immortality to man. Vaikuntha is the place or stage of no kuntita or no dullness, no mutilation, no misery, no sorrow. On the Ekadashi day, dedicated to the winning of that stage of no sorrow, the gates of Vaikuntha are open for those who have achieved success in the struggle for overcoming the handicap of ignorance. And he says, Swami said, when the mind obeys the whims of the senses, you get bound. When the mind listens to the warnings of its master, which is the buddhi or the reason, you are saved. And Bhagwan went on to advise the devotees that day, so train the mind to heed the intelligence, the buddhi, and not the vagaries of the senses. And after granting this bodhamritam, this spiritual discourse, then Swami created the amritam, which was generated by the devas and asuras on that auspicious day, if you go back to the legends, by the churning of the ocean of milk. And then Swami gave it to all present. But as He gave this amritam, Bhagwan did not stop His bodhamritam. the lessons were coming. And Swami said, the tongue that has tasted this amritam must not be contaminated by anritam, that is falsehood, hereafter. The tongue that has tasted this amritam must not be contaminated by anritam. Once you have tasted that which is unsurpassable, that which is so eternal, that which is beyond what the world can offer, it is foolish to go after the temptations of the world. So one that has tasted amritam must not go after anritam. So this is what Professor Kasturi has written about Vaikuntha Ekadashi in Satyam Shivam Sundaram. This happened in way back 1963. And I remember another very beautiful incident connected with Vaikuntha Ekadashi. This concerns Mother Ishwaramma. And this was narrated to us by Mrs. Vasumati Devi, Vasumati Rao. She is the coordinator of all the sevadals of the state of Andhra Pradesh. And she says, this incident happened in the 60s. One of her relatives who was in Prashantinilam wrote to her informing her that Swami was going to create Amritam. And she was very keen. But by the time she received the letter, there was hardly any time left. It was just a couple of days ago, and you know, it is in the 60s, there was no telephone lines to help her organize the trip. She was from the East Godavari district and travel facilities were minimal. To reach Puttaparthi, she had to change an array of buses and trains, and she was a teenager then, and alone for her to come all the way was not going to be easy. And there was no one ready to accompany her on this long journey. But she was so determined that she should not miss this chance, that reposing faith in Bhagwan and picking up courage, she traveled for 2 days, changing 7 buses. And finally she reached Puttaparthi at 8:45 p.m. on the Vaikuntha Ekadashi day, night 8:45 p.m. And when she entered the ashram, the residents of Prashantinilam then, they showered sympathy on her and they said, oh, you have come only now. Swami has just finished distributing the Amritam and he's actually retired upstairs. Now imagine the plight of this young girl who's changed 7 buses and come only for this. And all she has now is to look at the mandir, which with its curtain already on. Extremely crestfallen, she was thinking what she can do now. And she immediately thought about Mother Ishwaramma. And Ishwaramma, who was staying at that time in the mandir, Mother Ishwaramma used to know Vasumati Garu at that time. At that time, as I mentioned, she used to know her as Eluru Papa, the girl from Eluru. Eluru is the headquarters of the West Godavari district, Andhra Pradesh. It's about, as I mentioned, 400 kilometers from Puttaparthi. So she dropped the luggage in front of her room and she went to the mother. And when Mother Ishwaramma saw her, her heart went out to her and she asked, my child, why have you come so late? And then she narrated all her difficulty. And then Mother Ishwaramma was felt extremely sad and she said, what a pity, Swami has already gone upstairs. But then something happened to Mother Ishwaramma. She just caught hold of her hand and the next moment she just took her to the first floor of the mandir. She went, took her directly to Swami's presence. Swami was at the dining table. He was about to start his meals. Mother asked Vasumati Garu to stay at the door and she went inside. And with great concern in her voice, she told Swami, Swami, Eluru Papa, she has just arrived. She has changed 7 buses to come. Swami was very mischievous. Swami said, "Did the girl ask you to recommend her situation to me?" Mother Ishrama did not know what to do. She told, "No, Swami. Papa never asked me to do this. I myself took pity and I have brought her here." Then Swami smiled with a bewitching twinkle in his eyes and Swami said, "Okay, if that is the case, take this bottle and give her Amritam. Papam, poor girl." But now Mother Ishrama was not satisfied. You know, with motherly intimacy and a gentle frown, Mother said, "What? I have to give it to her, Swami? Did she come all the way to Puttaparthi changing 7 buses to get Amritam from me? No way, I am not going to give it to her. You have to go and give it to her." And Swami immediately melted. Seeing that compassion in Mother Ishwarama's heart, Swami immediately got up from his table. He was full of smiles and that beautiful charm about him. Swami said, "Yes, I myself will go and give it to her." And Swami came, went to her, asked her to come forward. Swami said, "Open your mouth." And then, you know, Swami making that whole incident light, Swami said, "Just because I asked you to open your mouth doesn't mean you swallow the whole bottle. I will only put a few drops. Swallow it." And, you know, making that whole, just allowing her to feel comfortable, Swami puts that Amritam in her mouth. And Vasimathi Garu, even now, whenever she recalls this incident, her love for Bhagwan and the concern that Mother Ishwarama had for devotees will always surface in her mind. And it only shows to what extent the Lord will go if our intention and our devotion has that sincerity. If all that we want is Him and Him alone without any reservation, and if we are able to take not even 7 steps, if we are able to take even half a step, but if we do it sincerely, the Lord will, as Bhagwan always said, He will take 99 steps. And I think every devotee has these experiences wherein Bhagwan, I mean, what can you, without even asking the Lord, He is here to give us Amritam. To me, it seems like it is a figurative way. You know, Swami is giving us the highest. He is giving us that which will make us immortal. And what is that thing? I would always think that everything that He gave us, which will make us immortal, are this Bodhamritam. And as freely He gave this Amritam, in the same manner He gave us this Bodhamritam. And this is what will help us, as Bhagwan said, come out of this bondage. And as I was telling you, this new year is special not only for it being the start of the 90th birthday celebrations, not only for it being the Thursday, not only for it being the day of Vaikuntha Ekadashi, but it is also the day when not only devotees, not only hundreds of devotees, but also a huge group of alumni of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning are here to partake this divine nectar of His love and bask in His presence today. In fact, on the New Year Day, every year, the former students of Bhagwan's university gathered in large numbers to collectively offer their gratitude to Bhagwan for all that He means to them, for all that the Lord continues to do, and for the sheer opportunity to be among them who were chosen by the Lord and given the opportunity of stepping into the portals of His university. And today they offered a bouquet of programs, soulful flute and saxophone rendering in the morning, appropriately named as Dhadkan, the heartbeat. In the evening you had a vibrant performance by the alumni brass band, followed by an audiovisual presentation, and this was beautiful. through pictures and video clips, they recreated the golden olden days of the Satya Sai avatar, the days immediately after Bhagwan declared his avatarhood, the amazing instances of divine revelation and poignant episodes of divine munificence, the story of the Satya Sai avatar, just like the Rama story or the Krishna story. It is so filled with magic and miracles, but at the same time, so suffused with deep messages and profound lessons of life. And how the Satya Sai avatar actually painstakingly taught us these lessons of life is what was portrayed very interestingly through a drama. It was called Premamritam, where taking real life instances of the transformation that has happened in the lives of students, the alumni shared with the world how the divine sculptor slowly chisels every raw stone that comes to him, so that one day they shine resplendently as Sai diamonds, reflecting his love, his message and his glory. And today in the studios, I'm very happy that we have now three such former students of Bhagwan's university who have spent years at his lotus feet. And now when they reflect on this chiseling process and what it has done to them, they only feel more and more grateful to their beloved Lord. So that is what we have for you on this last segment of Thursday Live on this New Year Day, as you listen to our series of programs from the heart of Prashantinilayam. This is Thursday Live programs coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, our last segment on Thursday Live. And as I mentioned to you, we have today three former students, three alumni of Bhagwan's institutions, who are going to share slices of their life after they have been touched by the Lord. So we have brothers CBS Money, brother P. Hariharan, and brother P. Satyanarayana. Welcome, brothers, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram, thank you.
So let me just take one more minute and introduce all of you to our Radio Sai listeners. We have brother P. Hariharan, who did his bachelor's in commerce in Bhagwan's University from 1984 to 1987, and currently he works as a director in management consulting in Deloitte. He went on to do his chartered accountancy after he did his bachelor's in commerce in Bhagwan's University. Then we have brother P. Satyanarayana, who has spent 7 years in Bhagwan's institutions. He has done his 11th and 12th, his high school, went on to do his bachelor's in commerce, and then his master's in financial management from 1988 till 1995. Those were the years he had the chance to be at Bhagwan's lotus feet. And currently he's in Kuwait, in early United Bank, in corporate banking. He's a senior credit analyst. And then we have brother CBS Money, who had the opportunity to be with Bhagwan for 5 years, from 1990 to 1995. He too did his bachelor's of commerce and then went on to do his master's in financial management, and now he's assistant business consultant in CGI Information Systems. He's in India. So welcome, brothers, to the studios and to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So, it's been an amazing day for me to just see all the brothers come back to the mother. And brother Hariharan, you are someone who has seen Bhagwan in the 80s. 84 to 87 is a period where I don't even know how it was being with Bhagwan in those days. So tell us how it was sitting inside Kulwant Hall today.
I think it was a day when the old memories came back. For many of us who were students in those years, the proximity at which Bhagwan was with us at that point of time, you don't really realize it, or you didn't realize it at that point of time, but now that you see so many years going by, you see so many students sitting in Kulwant Hall. Well, there was no Kulwant Hall at that time.
Yes.
It was those wonderful sands of Parthi. And what I can clearly remember is Bhagwan's form gliding over those sands. And we had very limited space to sit because space was just the portico of the Mandir. And there are so many people who wanted to sit right up front. And Bhagwan used to not only come amongst us, walk amongst us, at least I would believe almost every day he would make it a point to come between the lines and speak to all of us. So it was those memories came back vividly today. I think it was an emotional moment. It was a day on which, and especially the programs that happened today, they really brought out that aspect of Bhagwan which is known to very few people and which we experienced during those days. So it was really a wonderful experience today.
Wow. And Brother Satyanarayana.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. I would like to say one thing. For the student community, you can take a person out of Parthi, but you cannot take Parthi out of a person.
Wow.
And I think I speak this on behalf of the entire student community, like whether they are here physically today or they are only mentally present. I think it's been wonderful. Though I've been able to make it to Parthi quite often yearly, but I've not been able to make it to the alumni get-togethers. I think it's after a gap of 4 or 5 years, I've been actually making it for the alumni get-together. And I think it's been spiritual recharging at its best. You know, especially the evening program was very touching, and it was something which we could all relate to.
Exactly.
It was straight out of a slice out of hostel life. And it's been wonderful. And to say that it was spiritual recharging, I think is an understatement. I think it was much more. And I don't think you can actually adequately put it in words. But I think the words are not actually coming out. Whatever came out, I just sort of expressed myself. And I think it's wonderful. You know, in short, I think that's the word I would like to use.
Amazing. And Brother CBS Money.
Sai Ram, I have only two things to reflect upon. One was when you were mentioning about Vaikuntha just a couple of minutes back, and today being Vaikuntha Ekadasi. This was on December 4th, 1991, when we were in the interview room with Bhagwan, and we had stayed back for the vacation, some of us, and Swami had called the Vrindavan boys in for an interview. One of my brothers, we were indeed roommates at that point of time. He asked Swami in Hindi, Swami, Swarga kya hai? What is heaven? Kya ra apna boys bhi kya poochta hai? This was the way Bhagwan responded. You know, what even our boys are asking? Swarg matlab prashantinilyam. That's it. And he pronounced it. You know, that is prashantinilyam is swarg.
It is heaven.
It is, yes. So that's what I wanted to reflect. And the next point, how I'm feeling today here.
Yes.
Again, another instance, which is what I can say that Brother Satya has kind of taken away. What not taken away? That's the kind of a thing which even I wanted to share. And for that, again, I'd like to relate to one more experience where, when we were in Kodaikanal, I went on to my knees and prayed to Bhagwan to bless us with an opportunity to chant Vedam. That was on April 14th, 1993. Swami said those words from the Taittiriya Upanishad, Anandavalli of the Taittiriya Upanishad. And that's what I would say is, Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. That is, it is not by words that you can describe. It's beyond the comprehension of the mind. So it's beyond the thought. When it's beyond the thought, none of the words can go ahead and describe it. And I think whatever we say or do anything, it's not going to do justice. So it's simple again, coming back here. Yato vachyo nivartante aprapya manasa saha anandam brahmano vidvan.
Yes.
This is what I would recall.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very soul-filling experience every time you are in Prashanti Nilayam.
Absolutely.
But what Brother Satyanarayana said is so beautiful. And I think that holds good not only for students but for every devotee. You can't take away the parthi in your heart. Right? So, can I ask you, Brother Satyanarayana, what are those elements in your life, in your heart, that you feel are the gifts of Prashanti Nilayam to you? And that because of which you always feel that wherever you are close to Prashanti Nilayam, even though physically you may be miles apart, miles away.
Yeah, actually a lot of memories sort of keep flooding my mind. But something which actually comes to mind initially is, you know, Swami has said that my life is my message. In the sense that he wanted everybody to inculcate perfection. So I'm reminded of one particular instance actually. It happened, I think it was in the year 1992, and it was Onam festival. It was 1993. It was Onam festival. And then, being a Malayali, I had an opportunity to offer, being in the third year also, finally
yes.
a passing out. And
yes.
So we get some of these perks, you know.
Yes.
So I had the opportunity to offer Aarti to Bhagwan. So the thing is, though love, Bhagwan is love from head to toe, when you actually approach him, your hand starts trembling for whatever reason.
Yes.
You know. So the thing is, it so happened that after the program, right through the program, I was actually looking forward to my chance of taking Aarti. So, and once the opportunity actually came, my hand was trembling. We had the old Shastri Garu, you know, who was also doing it.
Yes.
And we were right near the interview door, room door, actually.
Correct, yeah.
And we had, everybody was jostling for space, and we had very less space, actually. We had the Shastri Garu just standing next to me. And so once you finish the aarti, there was hardly any place to keep the aarti tray, you know, the camphor was still on. But then I tried my best to place it strategically so that it's not close to the Shastri Garu's leg.
Mm.
And Swami was going on watching, you know. And the sense that I was also feeling very, you know, insecure about Swami kept on watching. And then once I kept it, there was no space, so it was quite close to Shastri Garu's leg actually. Then he looked and said, Donnapota, and he wanted it to be kept perfectly, you know. But, you know, that's the takeoff, you know, in the sense that Swami wanted us to be perfect in every small thing, whatever we do.
Yes.
You know, it's a mundane thing of finishing the aarti and how yes. you keep it. And
yes.
nothing would have happened actually too. But then he
yes.
wanted us to, you know, keep it properly
yes.
in such a way that it doesn't hurt or the flames don't affect
yes.
Shastri Garu. Because,
yes.
so, you know, in every act of ours, he wanted us to inculcate perfection.
Yes.
That was one instance which readily comes to mind, you know. It's not a cultivated sort of a thinking, but
I know.
This sort of comes
and
to
how living with the Lord,
yeah.
this education happens on a continuous basis.
On a continuous basis, yeah. yeah.
In fact, when Brother Satya is mentioning about this, I'm kind of reminded of what happened in April 1993. It was something similar to Aarti as you mentioned about it now. That particular day was the first day when we were in Kodai, and it was in first day when we were in the bhajan hall in Kodaikanal. And after the bhajans, we had to perform aarti. So I went in the front to, you know, it was a blessing that I could perform the aarti that day. There was a tray, a plate kind of a thing on which the aarti was kept. So I was intending to take the aarti and perform the aarti. But Bhagwan was trying to tell me something and I was not able to understand what Swami was telling me. I understood it or misunderstood it is that I should do it with the tray in my hand and leave the aarti to be there on the tray.
Oh.
And I started performing it and it started wobbling.
right?
Okay.
And I was suspicious of that. I'm not sure whether it started wobbling because my hands were trembling or what was the reason. Then when the arti was over, Bhagwan had gone back into Sai Shruti, and we all later on, you know, walked up to Sai Shruti, and Swami is right there at the entrance. He had not spoken a word to anybody. He was waiting for me to enter Sai Shruti. The moment I entered, he started telling me in Tamil, Paityakara, mad boy. Did I not tell you to hold the arti in the hand and keep the tray on the floor? You took the tray and you started doing. That is not what you should do. What will happen if it falls onto your hand? You will continue and get burnt. That is where, as he says, the perfection and the ABC of life, always be careful, came out there.
And when you think of it, I mean, the Lord of the highest heavens, He comes down and He tells us, you know, how to hold a arti plate. He tells us, you know, how you should wash your hand. He tells us how you should walk in lines. He tells us how you should button your shirt. I mean, the kind of things that he goes down to that detail to tell us.
I want to make a correction here. Sorry. You know, I understand the intent what he's saying. It's not that he tells it. He has done it and shown it to us. Because there was once, I remember when, you know, the collar was not set properly I was in a hurry. He came up and said, call me. He said, no, it is not to be this way. And he, no, straightened the collar. And another thing, whenever anybody would, when he used to be seated in three and Swami would indicate someone to stand up, no, the shirt would naturally have coiled up. He would pull the shirt down.
Yes.
It's the motherly aspect also which comes out,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
How much care he wants to take of his children. Yes. He wants his children to be perfect. In the sense that we are all staying away from home.
Yes.
And he wants to take care of us.
Yes.
That's what comes out, you know.
As he always mentioned, we'll never be able, when we don't understand the love of one mother, how can we understand the love of a thousand mothers?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think Swami's love is something which we can never ever say that we have understood.
Yeah.
Because I think we discover new facets of it as we spend more and more time reflecting on what we have received and what we continue to receive.
As you rightly said, I just wanted to reflect. I'm reminded of one more thing which Swami used to say when he said, we just can't understand. I remember Swami telling us, not once, but umpteen number of times, don't even try to understand me.
Yes.
Experience me.
Experience. Yes. Brother Hariharan, your experience.
Couple of incidents which happened right in front of my eyes. We all celebrate birthdays and we look forward to carrying the birthday tray and sitting right in the front and all that. And I was also doing it similarly. Probably on the same day or maybe the 2 or 3 days later, there were again some more boys who were sitting right in front. It was after interviews. Bhagwan had come out on the portico and he was walking. And he looked as if he's searching for someone. And he possibly looked from the first row, the few blocks on the backside. Then again he came to the front. And then finally he gave a big smile, called one of the brothers, told him to come near, patted him, told him to take namaskar, and said, today is your birthday and why did you not come?
Oh my God.
That was the experience which I was sitting just near where that incident happened.
Wow.
I'm sure for any reason he may not have gone that day with a particular tray and sat in the front. For whatever reason it could have been. But to see Swami searching for him and see Swami calling him, telling him to take namaskar and telling him, today is your birthday, I remember it.
Wow.
That was one of the most and wonderful experiences. I mean, it is something which it tells you the motherly love that is there. You may forget, others may forget. Nobody knew probably it was his birthday. So maybe
I think every time a thing like this happens, you know, we hear one aspect of Bhagwan's love or one instance like this we experience, I personally feel that, you know, there are hundreds that happen to us. And many times, you know, he doesn't come and really tell us.
Yes.
Where, like this incident, he made it obvious. You know, he called and he made it obvious that, hello, I am thinking of you. But I think if we reflect on our lives, at the end of the day, we would realize that he's been doing 100 things for us and he doesn't really overtly come and tell us that, you know, hello, this is what I did. Actually, you're getting late to office and this is what I did. I had to stop that car on the way, or, you know, this is what I had to do to save you from this situation, or this is the other thing that I had to do so that you get home in time. But this is what I personally feel, that he's all the time engaged in doing so many things, but he doesn't really come and tell us, because a mother will not go and tell the child, no, you know what, I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you, I did this for you. I mean, she just does it because that is what she is. Swami, I remember one occasion, he said, I do not know how not to love. Means I don't even know how not to love.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing that is not love in this world. Because he created the whole thing out of love. So there is nothing that is not love. So, no, when we reflect on these instances, I think that's what comes out so powerfully.
Actually, my own experience in this has been phenomenal, in the sense I was there, I stayed in Parthi for 3 years. MBA had just started, but for some reason or the other, I couldn't join MBA.
86 MBA started.
86 it started, so it was the first year. And
yes.
So after BCom, I had to go back and I did my CA, completed my CA and all of that. Sometime in between during that period, Bhagwan had not spoken to me during that period, but my parents got an interview with Bhagwan. And Bhagwan told my mother everything about how I did my last CA exam.
Oh my God.
Everything. He said he's done in all A papers correctly, but in one paper he has done it not so well. He might just make it probably, but in some papers he has not studied well, but my grace is there. In some places he has studied well, he will do fine. And he gave the assurance to my mother, when I myself did not know what I would be able to achieve. Right? He told my mother that, you know, he is going to be doing it fine.
Wow.
And then, another 5 years later, I happened to be in Parthi and I would come along with the local, I was staying in Baroda, so the Baroda Samiti, we had all come here.
This is in the 90s?
This is in the 90s, 1996.
Okay.
December, around this time. And so Bhagwan called the entire group to the interview room, and as how Bhagwan starts off any interview discussion, he asked me, he asked others about everything. So when he asked about me, the state president said, Swami, he studied in your college. Before even I could say anything, he said, he studied in your college. And believe me, for the next 5 minutes, Swami told the entire group about when I had come, what I had studied, what did I do here, what did I do after I went back. He related my life experience to everyone. So it's like it gave you that assurance.
Yes.
That he was there all throughout. It's not, as he says, it's not that, you know, he's there only when you call him. He's yes. there always with you. He's observed everything. He's been with you all throughout. You have nothing to worry. You just have to walk the path that he has started out for us. And he's there to take care. As simple as that.
Phenomenal. The thought that comes to my mind is, it might happen that you have studied in Bhagwan's institution for 5 years or 7 years, and Swami might not have spoken to you. You know, he might not have had a lot of personal interaction with you. But we can never ever imagine what he does to us. I think every person's story is so different, and that is what has conveyed today in that drama.
Exactly. I would just like to take off from what you said.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. It's just a takeoff, and it just occurred very naturally now, in the sense that when I was at the crossroads of my career, actually, this was sometime when I'd come for the, I think if you remember, in 2005, we had our MBA meet, you know?
Reconnect,
yeah.
August.
Yes. So it was a real reconnect, actually.
Absolutely.
So I was praying to Swami for guidance with regard to career and all that, and I didn't seem to be going anywhere in my career. So it was not a motivated attempt. As soon as I went back, actually, this offer from Kuwait came and all that. So I didn't know how to take it, because it was the first time I was going abroad, and I just didn't know what to take. So I just prayed that you have to take care of everything, and I don't know how things are going to be. You have to take care. I didn't know that there was a samiti there, what activities are happening there, nothing. I just didn't know anything. So I just, you won't believe it, on the day when I was flying out for the first time, actually, I was actually going for the interview, and I had landed in Bombay. And the sense that midnight there was some confusion, in the sense that the connecting flight, the flight which went off from Bangalore, got delayed.
Okay.
And then we had very less time for the connecting flight. So what happened is, it was the dead of night, 1:30, and in Bombay, you know, you have the thing to move from the domestic to the international. You know. So the thing is, there were a lot of passengers on a British Airways flight which had an immediate connection, and they all wanted to, you know, rush and... So we were actually rushing out of the, you know, out of the airplane, and we were actually getting into the bus. In the confusion, actually, I dropped the ticket. Actually, fell out of my.
Oh my God!
The ticket. The thing is, I had to go and get a boarding pass, because it was not a connecting flight. I had to get it. It was on another airline.
Hmm.
So if I had lost the ticket, that's it. You know, I would have had to. You know, I would have been stranded.
Hmm.
The ticket fell out from my pocket. And in the dead of night, and you won't believe it, I just had a tap on my back, somebody just, you know, telling me. Nobody could have observed also, you know, the ticket actually falling down, and in the dead of night, nobody bothers, everybody is in a rush.
Yes, probably and half asleep.
Yeah. And then it just fell down, and, you know, somebody just tapped on my back, and then sort of said, something for this ticket, he sort of gave it to me. That's when I realized, sort of. So I thought it was just godsend. It's just that. So some of these instances which sort of just keep happening in your life for reasons which you don't know.
Yes, absolutely.
But for your own betterment, and he knows best.
He knows best. I mean, there is nothing like a coincidence.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. As you've heard, nothing is by desire, but it's by design.
Design, yes.
It is design.
Absolutely. And as we reflect on our lives, I think all of you brothers have spent now so many years now in the corporate world. May I ask you, as you think about your days in the university and the training that the hostel gave you, but I think hostel is a very unique and a beautiful place, isn't it? Can I ask you, Brother Satyanarayana, what is the most fascinating thing about the hostel for you?
Yeah, the most fascinating thing is, you live in a room with 13 or 14 students, all of them having different mindsets. They're all different personalities, and you get together in a nicety. You know, that's what's wonderful. In fact, you don't realize it then. You could have odd personalities in the room giving you, that time you call it trouble, in inverted commas, you know.
Yeah.
But then, this is for your good. See, I sort of realize it now. So I didn't have issues with anybody in the rooms, but then,
I know.
the thing is, it's a fascinating way how it shapes your character and molds your personality. In the sense that it's a lesson in man management in itself, actually. And you learn it on the job. Very unconsciously, you pick up these skills, actually. For example, I would just like to relate to some instance. In the sense, currently I'm working in a bank where there are not many Indians. In my previous organization in Kuwait, there were a lot of Indians. So the transition to the job wasn't very difficult, you know, it's when you have Indians around, generally the transition becomes easier. You feel on familiar territory.
Yes.
Okay. The thing is, now I am in a setup where you have a lot of Arabs, different mentalities, different mindsets.
Yes.
And the way you interact with them matters a lot, actually.
Yes.
So the thing is, that's where I think Swami says always, now if you cannot always oblige, you should at least speak obligingly.
Yes.
So there have been many day-to-day instances where this has come to my rescue, actually.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, I also have a dual reporting relationship, one to an AGM of corporate credit and one to the head of corporate banking.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, there are normally clashes, you know, somebody wants something done, the other person wants something else done, and everybody wants it done immediately. So the thing is, what I do is I try to spend some time with them and try to make them understand that both of these cannot be done together.
Yes.
So there have been instances like that whenever, yes, I face such pressures.
Yes.
I've tried to make them understand, and by Swami's grace, they've sort of understood. And so the thing is, I think it's the approach. If you try to, try to explain to them in a rather than getting worked up and,
yes,
you know, telling, no, I can't do this.
Yes.
That's when you face issues.
Yes.
I think that's where you come back to Swami's message of,
yes,
speaking obligingly.
Wow.
So I thought, that way, I think hostel is a wonderful training ground. I think it's a wonderful training ground. It's a laboratory. In fact, yes, in today's drama, it was said.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful training ground, actually. Mm. You don't realize it then.
Yes.
It's only much later in life that you realize these things, which changes which take place in you unconsciously. And both my brothers, I think, yes, will vouch for it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly.
Taking on from there,
yeah,
I am in consulting. I meet varieties of clients, customers, people working in those organizations, all of them having different, and they always perceive a consultant like me coming in and, you know, as a third party coming in and trying to make, you know, possibly create problems for them. And then you have certain challenges in all these engagements, all these assignments that we do, which creates issues for you within your team as well. One thing that I realize, and which many of my co-colleagues have said, and is that we have been able to, thanks to the training that we have had here, thanks to the way we have all been brought up here, that we tend to take things with an equanimity which otherwise people don't have.
Hmm.
So even if there is something disturbing, they would say, if we were in your place, we would have probably blown up. We probably, mm-hmm, would have had a big issue here.
Mm-hmm.
We would have probably had a, you know, major problem that could have got created. And the way you handled it, very calmly, you know, very in a poised manner, without, yes, probably disturbing anybody's views and concerns that they may have. So, frankly, I don't know how this happened. I did not get any specialized training for this. My organization did not teach me this. They tell you to do this, but they never tell you how to go about doing it. So, from where did it all come? It's all come because we have been, as you said, the hostel, the university here, the 2 hours that you spend here in Bhagawan's presence, all of that changes and transforms you internally. You, yes, realize that, you know, it's not, everything is in a continuum. Things will keep on happening. Certain things will always be perhaps not in the way which you thought. Certain things might really happen the way you thought. But at the same time, you would know how to handle each of those events in a proper and in a very balanced manner. That training unconsciously has crept into all of us thanks to the wonderful, right, wonderful tenure that we had here. 3 or 5 or 7 years which we have stayed here, wow, and subsequently as well. That's always, it's internally transformed us in a manner in which we ourselves have not realized.
Yeah. Wow.
You realize it only when others point that out to you.
That's
when you realize, and when you realize that Bhagawan has done the miracle that which is what we saw in today's drama, for example,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
It's a transformation thing which is happening in each of us.
Yeah. I mean, that is the true miracle.
That's the true miracle, yes.
And when I think about Swami's management institution, you know, the Department of Management Studies now, I remember Swami always saying that MBA is mainly man management. That's what Bhagwan used to say. He almost said that MBA is man management. And the compilation of all that Bhagwan said to management students is named as man management.
Exactly. The thing is, I remember, I think Mani would relate to it. Actually, in our first interview, our MBA MFM
Correct.
Batch, which Swami gave us
in 1993.
Yeah, exactly. I remember the day. The thing is, I remember, firstly, Swami asked, okay, what is financial management? Swami said, it is all man management. It is all management. I think the import of it didn't get into us then. I think today, I think all, after all of yes, us have spent decades, you know, that's when you sort of realize.
How I would kind of rate it is when I was in my class 11, we learned that economics, it was basically four major resources, which is money, which is your finance, okay, material, machines, and man. A ₹1 or a $1 can buy you only something worth that much. A machine has a limited capacity. And thirdly, the material, if you take a particular oil seed, the amount of seed which you can, amount of oil which you can extract is what is the amount of oil which is contained in that, and nothing more than that. But when it comes to man, under X, he may give 20% of his ability. While under Y, he can give 200% of his capability.
Wow.
That's where I would say is, you know, being an economic student or anything of that kind, out of these major resources, I'm able to see the efficacy of man management. That's other things, you don't need to manage it. You just need to do what is there.
Yes.
This is where you need to manage.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So that's why, I mean, that's the thing which, now when they were talking about the hostel, what I was seeing is that Brother Satya started off with some 11 to 14 people in a room.
Yes.
Okay. Ekadashi and Shaudasha and all of that, right? So, one thing was, when you're there as a room, when we were in Vrindavan, we would have a room cleanliness competition or an altar competition.
Yes.
Fine, and then there was a time when we used to take the altar to Bhagwan and,
yes.
you know, it was a pretext to get Padmaskar precisely there and that. It would be not what I can do, but what's going to be coming for the room as such
exactly.
is what we were seeing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Which is what, when I, as a class 12 student, which I studied in the management, the sixth principle of Fayal's management out of his 14 principles. Subordination of individual interest for the group interest.
Yes.
Exactly. And just a few months back, now that we work in a global environment. Now the people whom we work with and whom I report to, they're sitting there in the other side of the globe. What they had for me to say was that he not looks for what his role is. He looks for the overall objective of the group, of the product, which is what we are all into. We are into product design, such a kind of an exercise. So he looks at that. And when they said it, as Brother Hari had mentioned, that's when it struck to me, oh yeah, this is maybe, that is when I was able to relate it to what we went through during our days of in the hostel or, you know, during the sports meet. Say that, no, with this particular kind of a game, it's better that I take the back seat and allow.
Exactly. I just reminded of one saying, you know, says a home is a place where each one lives for the other.
Yes.
That's what exactly it is, actually.
And all live for God.
All live for God. Great. Mm-hmm. I think, in the sense, one more thing is, I think the hostel life, actually, just reminded when Mani was relating his instances, it builds up teamwork, you know,
yes.
in the sense that you had the sweeping duties.
Yes.
Then you had your own dinner
altar
duties, cleaning. Altar cleaning. You had your dinner duties.
Yes.
In the sense that you had somebody falling sick, you sort of pitch in for him.
Sick ward duties.
Sick ward duties. You know, you had a whole lot of, you had your, fruit shop duty,
stores duty. Stall, yes.
You know, it sort of built in a sort of a community sort of a feeling. You know, that community awareness, a civic sense in you. which...
So you can take to any job, actually.
You can take to any job, you're right. Yeah, you can. Without any issues. You don't feel that this is low or that is high.
Yeah.
You are ready to do any sort of a thing. I think that's what sets out our students from some of the other.
In fact, when he's talking about this, I remember, and he was talking about all the duties which he used to do. We used to feel that there was some kind of a response that the corridors are not that clean. So we chose, okay, now that we have the A floor, B floor, C floor is what we call, it's a kind of a jargon which you are very familiar with in the Prashantanilayam. Okay. And so there was somebody in charge of the A floor corridor, someone for the B floor and someone for the C floor. Now the question came up, who's going to take care of the staircase? So the connecting points, which is what I said, how crucial the integration is, it plays a role. That's when I'm able to relate the staircase as an integral part. You have different modules.
Yes.
And in an organization, there are different departments. But when there is lack of communication between the two, that's when the integration doesn't happen.
Absolutely. Wow.
And which is when we were during those days when we were on our management program, Bhagwan used to talk about re-engineering. And one day he casually mentioned, holistic ga undal ra, adhe ra purna madhav. And related to how that full is important. So that bigger picture.
Yes. But one thing what I would like to say is, even though Swami always spoke to the management students about man management, but I would feel that anyone who does his education in Bhagwan's university, not necessarily who have gone through the management program, I think everyone gets trained in man management, isn't it, Brother Hariharan?
Absolutely, absolutely. See, it's like this. A few years back, management theory was always about you building individual capabilities, you building individual networks, you building individual steps for your own achievement, and that taking you to whichever pinnacle of success that it is. That theory is slowly moving away, and what new management theory says is, who can work in a collaborative manner, who can work in a teamwork fashion, who can forget his ego and be a part of the team.
Yes.
So when you see all of that, you realize this is exactly what we learned so many years back.
And it happened here
automatically.
In the mid-80s. In the mid-80s.
In the mid-80s, we learned.
Such a visionary Swami was,
Yes.
Even he's talking about collaborative. Just a little while back, when they gave the Vidyuleka magazine.
Yes.
I was reading this, where there was a bhajan competition was organized during the 2003. One of the boys has shared his experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had reached the final stage, and one of those boys who had reached the finals, he happened to tell Bhagwan in the bhajan hall, Swami, we had such a kind of a competition, and some of us have reached the final stage, and I'm one of them. Swami casually mentioned, competition urdu, cooperation kawali.
Wow.
So this is, these values which today management theory recognizes, and now that's the buzzword.
Yeah.
And which is indeed the real way of managing things.
Yes.
Is what we all got trained so many years back.
Yes.
So for us it becomes almost intuitively.
Yeah.
We are doing it even without realizing it.
Yes.
But for many of the others, it's a wonder.
Naturally, you will want to think about the other person. Naturally, you will be sensitive to the other person's concern.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to be trained for that.
Exactly.
Nobody need to tell you about it.
Exactly.
And I think that is what is that sensitivity is at the heart of man management. And I think that makes, and I remember Swami used to always say that men are more valuable than all the wealth in the world, as money said. And I think if you are someone who is able to handle that as a group and also individually, as you mentioned, when you face things in life, if you can not get worked up, because I think once you lose it, then at that point in time your decisions also go haywire. Only when you are able to maintain your
It also reflects, therefore, on your own career achievements. Because when you can say with some amount of, some amount of pride that you have had almost all consulting engagements, at least which I did, were going on smoothly, not a single client getting upset about the kind of work we did or the way we went about doing it or the way we went about servicing them. Or if not a single of your co-colleagues, subordinates ever complaining about you to anybody else.
Yes.
You realize that, well,
it has all got to do.
It's all got to do with the way we did not realize it as we went did all of that, but the results are out there. You can see it very clearly.
Yes.
It's only because of that aspect, only that aspect. It doesn't matter what was your individual capability in doing that work or how well you were technically expert in doing it. That was never the main point. The main point was how did you manage the entire work. So that, if you did it well, you had such good results to show.
Sometimes it will take a while.
Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it doesn't come up immediately.
Yes.
Sometimes you realize that it is not something which is, it takes its own time span for you to understand that all of this is something that has led to this kind of a capability within you.
Yes.
You didn't realize it at that point of time. So maybe yes, realization obviously dawns later.
Yes.
But Bhagwan has already done all of that groundwork in us.
And the other thing which also I wanted you to touch upon is the general perception. I think it is changing now. You know, you have a lot of youngsters even now who feel that if you want to grow faster in your corporate career, you know, if you have, you may have to compromise. And if you are all the time too rigid about your principles, if you are someone who doesn't want to sort of at some points
adjust,
yeah, whatever, you know, then probably you are losing an opportunity. You're losing a chance to get promoted quickly. You're losing a career opportunity just by, you know, trying to be so a stickler of your values. So have you faced such situations in your life where, you know, you felt, well, this is not something that I would want to do because that is not in conformance with my principles, but probably the career demands it or the profession demands it, or well, that's how the society is, you know, I may have to, you know, make that compromise. Were there situations when you had to face those sort of dilemmas, the dharmic dilemmas that we use the term? And how difficult or easy has it been?
I can only relate it in one way, sometimes the decisions and the choices that you make, the good part is because the people around you know that you are capable of taking those decisions. They allow you to take a decision which they believe is not the right way, and we would have taken it based on the values and the principles that we stand for. And in many ways, it probably also doesn't augur well in terms of your own career path.
Yes, it might happen, right?
It does happen. I mean, it probably will happen with everybody, because that's a part of life.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Swami's taught us to handle it at that point of time in a particular way. So, I think the word compromise is probably may not be the case which anybody would be doing it knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Unknowingly, there could be so many instances where yes. things might go wrong.
Mm.
And then you realize it and then you pray to Bhagwan to help you out. But knowingly, I think compromises don't happen.
Mm.
We are all... The very fact that you know he is with you always, and that if anything was to go wrong, he is going to take care of you, is sufficient.
That confidence
is sufficient for you to take the call as and when you need to take a call.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, those dilemmas keep coming up. The world advises you to do exactly the other way, and sometimes, as a part of the entire organization, you may have to walk along to some extent with everybody.
Hmm.
But yes, when it comes to your own taking a decision, when you are confronted with a situation where you have to take a call, I think all of us as students will take a call which is befitting what Bhagavan expects from all of us. And that's purely because he's given us that kind of faith and that kind of confidence that yes, you can go ahead and take that call. Don't worry, I am with you.
Wow.
That is the confidence which, I don't know how it comes, but yes, it comes.
Is there any instance any of you brothers can narrate, you know, where you had a particular situation of this nature, and you know, and you were able to take a road which was probably less traveled?
Maybe, you know, before we get into the instance, I just want to say one thing here. When you're talking about compromising for the sake of getting a elevation or a personal benefit, I would say that the way I had read it somewhere, what matters is not whether you win every lap, but what really matters is whether you won the race or not.
Mm-hmm.
A race has multiple laps.
Yes.
So maybe you have missed a promotion, which is at this point of time,
mm-hmm.
which is one lap, but
yes.
then you can cover up
yes.
in the next lap and then go ahead and win the race of life.
Yes.
That's something which I would say. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was just asking if any of you would like to, give any particular instance where it was challenging for you and you chose to take a different path.
In the sense, actually, last year I did come across such a situation in the sense that, of course, it was a tricky situation, but then I had a heart-to-heart talk with my superior, and I told him this is what it is, and this is something which I'm not very comfortable with, and I was lucky that he understood. So, but then I was actually worried that how it would affect me in the long run, actually, in the sense that I was worried that he would sort of be a little careful about giving me any sensitive assignments. But then over a period of time, subsequently, I found that he was conscious. And he was, he had this awareness that, okay, this guy will deliver and he will keep the interest of the organization in mind. So I don't know what happened with his thinking actually. What,
yes.
But then I brought it to his notice and I told him that I was not very comfortable doing it.
Right.
But then, his continued sense of confidence in me leads me to the fact that, you know, he felt that, okay, I was somebody he could rely on and ensure that the institution's interests, you know, in the long run is taken care of. Maybe in the short run, yes,
yes.
it uh-huh. could get affected. But then you brought up a very, very valid topic. And this is, I think, till the end of eternity, this debate will continue. I think, in the sense that there are no easy answers to this question, actually. If somebody says there are easy answers to this, it's tough, and it's a call you need to take. And I think, brother mentioned about, you know, listening to the inner voice.
Then
decide.
The sometimes difficulties of being good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Yes, and maybe you know what you say is the good men finish last.
Yeah, sometimes it. But what Brother Mani mentioned, you know, you might miss a lap.
Yeah,
you might
right.
miss a lap or yeah. one or in the short term you might have some setbacks, but I think
in the long run.
In the long run, I think slowly. There is a realization that if you take shortcuts,
a shortcut will cut you short.
Will cut you short. Do you think there is a realization of that nature now, or people today still will not mind to, you know, cut corners and, you know, climb up the ladder?
See, it depends on various the cultures of various organizations and how people are groomed to that particular to certain roles in that organization. There are certain sensitive roles where these things happen, and in many cases you are not involved in it, but you can probably feel that something wrong is happening on the other side, and you probably are not in a position to influence it, so you just say Sai Ram and leave it at that. But there's another thing that I have also noticed, and which I feel it's been a strong thing that's always been, you know, felt by me. If you are good, Bhagavan ensures that you are always with the good people. So as he said,
wow.
You have a dilemma, you are put to a test, but the person to whom you are talking to is not of that type who would throw that out and say, what is this you are bringing to the table? This is not the way things happen nowadays.
Hmm.
They don't give you that kind of... They listen to you at least.
Hmm.
They might have their own concerns. They may have their own philosophies of life.
Yes.
And some of them may or may not be necessarily in the same path as you are. But they appreciate.
Hmm.
And so the good thing that happens is, you are not really faced with that dilemma on a continuous basis.
Hmm.
You are put to a test a few times. And fortunately, Bhagwan ensures that the people around you are people who understand from where you come from.
Wow.
And so that question doesn't keep coming up again and again and again.
Okay.
This is something which I felt. It's not that otherwise in the kind of work that I do, these kind of issues keep coming up on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are working, as I said, with multiple clients, multiple engagements, lot of issues on this client place, everybody wanting you to be influenced in some way or the other. All those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you may do an excellent work, but somebody may carry a grudge against you. It could cause a problem later on. All of these are things which you take in stride.
Mm-hmm.
But I have realized that if you clear those first few tests,
mm-hmm.
and then Bhagwan ensures that you are not put to a hardship again and again and again, you really meet the really good clients.
Wow.
You really meet some of the good people in that organization.
Mm.
You really meet, you have really very good people working with you.
Mm.
So
he creates that environment.
He creates that environment. But for that, yes, there would be a few instances in life where you have to walk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
You have to,
and I think slowly people know, they become aware of who you are, and slowly they begin to respect
that
you and what you stand for.
Right.
And eventually you create that space.
And Bhagwan therefore ensures that you are working in that kind of an organization. That is respected. In maybe in other places, in other organizations where if that is not the culture or not the policy, things could be in a completely different angle. Then you might have a difference of opinion, you might have a big issue with your bosses or your subordinates. But that's not the case here. People understand, and the organization is kind of there to support you. And it is because you are in that kind of an organization where Bhagwan has chosen you to be working in that place.
That is something fantastic. I think Swami always said that it all starts with self-confidence. And that self-confidence is not that small S. It is that capital S. And I think if you look at every student's life, what he walks out with of this university, of the portal of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, is that confidence that he is with me. You know, it is that confidence with that capital S. I think unless you have a backing of that nature, you cannot really be able to take a stand. You will not be able to have that courage to follow a particular principle,
and,
right?
And the more important thing is, in case you even stumble, and this is natural, we are all human beings.
Absolute.
We stumble sometimes in certain cases. He ensures that you realize it. He ensures that, you know, you have felt that something has gone wrong. And then you realize that it is... How you can come out of it is also something which is there to support you. And you can see that. You can see that, yes, you made some mistake. You regret it. You pray to him. And then things fall in place again. And that happens multiple times. Because we as human beings, we
keep
stumbling. We learn. We again stumble. And, you know, sometimes we tend to repeat some mistakes again and again. Which is... Even if you make mistakes, at least you realize it.
Yes.
Immediately, as soon as you make a mistake, you tend to realize it. And that itself is something which is...
His grace.
There are many times which happens when you make a mistake and you don't realize it's a mistake.
Yes.
Then it tends to become a part of your personality. Mm. At least that's not the case here. We tend to make improvements as we go along.
I think that is something which every Sai student is equipped with.
In fact, when you're not talking of the confidence... I recall it was those days during the final year batch, we used to pray to Bhagwan to bless us with an opportunity of a special audience only with the outgoing batch students. And when we were in Vrindavan, Swami called us
what we call this, you know, interview. It was more of an, more the real sambhashan and the sparshan and the close group, right? And Bhagwan, he began with this motta motta confidence undali. And he's narrated which this particular story of how an honeybee, when it gets in search of the, which can make a hole even into a hadas of the barks of the tree, when it gets into the lotus and the lotus closes and with the honeybee inside, it's not able to pierce through the petals of the lotus and come out, because it's lost in that nectar of the flower.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually an elephant comes and pounces upon that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's more of having the confidence in you.
Mm-hmm.
And as you rightly point out, the self, the true self, that's a self-confidence,
mm-hmm.
which Bhagwan refers to. Which is nothing but, which I would say is that in a very mundane terminology, a combination of I can do it plus the willingness to do it. Which kind of builds the confidence in us.
Yes. And knowing that the power behind you, the force
supreme
behind
power.
You,
the supreme power.
Yeah, it is greater than anything that can come in front of you.
Correct.
I think that gives us the courage to go forward.
Simple, why fear when I'm here?
Absolutely, absolutely. You have this Vedic dictum, Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha. Do you think it really works in the corporate world?
On the long run?
In the long
certainly
run,
yes.
In the long run, yeah. In the long run, yes.
The short term, if you look at the short term, it's more of a test for you. Are you having the confidence in that? It's a kind of a test. As Swami says, test is my testra.
Hmm.
He says that, right? So it's more of a test there. So it's, you are on the right path. You have a conviction, yes, I'm following the master. I need to face the devil.
Yes.
And it's just not that. That's when I said long run, fight till the end.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes it might be a bit arduous. Might be a little...
That's life, right?
Yes.
No, you have many ups and downs in life, and after the first downward spiral, you tend to look back and see what happened, and then you realize, yes, there was probably some issues which you had to confront with. You either confronted it, you fought the game till the end, or probably in some cases you even left it half midway. So that is how you learn. Life is a learning process at the end of the day.
Yes.
But in the short term also,
mm-hmm.
there are for the real challenge or real the big enigma question or dilemma question is only for the people whom like us who want to walk a particular path. For the rest of the corporate world, where probably these kind of values are not given the due importance as they should be, whether it's short term, medium term, long term, doesn't make a difference. So you see that happening regularly on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, you see that happening.
You see that happening. But yes, when it is your path, there's no problem. It's always, as you said, in the short term, in the medium term, long term, it's always absolutely fine for you. But yes, if you ask me, is the corporate world learning all of this? Yes, all these values are preached. Practice is obviously a big issue because nobody has got the kind of training that we have got.
Oh. So,
it's easy.
He talks of the preach and the practice. It's more of, you know, which I'm reminded of. When you talk of learning, it's more in the sense of the learning, which is where Swami tells this story of when Dronacharya tells the Kauravas and the Pandavas, go ahead and learn something on their own. And Swami used to tell it sometimes in a very nice way. He'd say, the way you people sometimes go on a seminar, that time Dronacharya had to go on a seminar and then he gave them homework. He used to tell it in this way, right?
Mm.
And then when Dronacharya returns, he begins with Dharmaraja Yudhishthir, what he learned. He says, Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. Only this much? Yes, Gurudeva, it's only this much that I learned. Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara. Then everyone else comes and gives a long list of what they learned. Then at end of it, when everybody has completed, Acharya Drona calls Dharmaraja and asks him, why is it that you learned only this much? He says, I learned how to put it into practice, how to apply it. So when you're able to apply it, bring it, convert it into an action and know when to use it and how to use it, that is when the real learning has happened.
Wow. And I think that is what happens with all of us.
Yeah, yeah,
the so. Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara is the motto of the
institute.
And that is what I think unconsciously is what Swami tries to instill.
Yeah.
The system, Swami and every teacher in the hostel, I think everyone tries to instill this into you. And once you step out of the portals, that is when you see how to actually put it into practice, and that's where challenges come.
Yeah. In fact, and if you look at in the last few years, all the major issues, it could be the financial, the crisis and the scams.
Yeah, absolutely.
The core issue
is this.
Is this, yeah.
Absolutely.
See, the world understands this.
World understands this, yeah.
They understand this, and if you look at any corporate policies, whether it's ethic policy or whether it is the value proposition that an organization brings to a table, whatever vision and mission statements that they talk about, these things are somehow bought in.
Yeah.
The issue that the corporate world faces is how do you actually do it?
Yeah.
There isn't any, you can't put people through a 3-day training program
and expect them that they'll
to do this, right?
That they'll become Yudhishthiras.
Exactly. So that is where, our kind of the education that we have gone through,
yes,
the integrated education that we have got through, understood here,
yes,
that is what,
yes,
is the, I would say, the way forward for everybody else. But
yeah, it requires a mindset change and mindset.
Because no company is going to say that we are going to allow everybody to tell the untruth.
Yeah,
and we are okay.
I know it's all there on the paper. On paper, it's all very beautiful and lofty, but people think that is restricted only to the paper.
No, there are people of good integrity in almost all good organizations.
Yes.
But the problem is that probably some of them lack the conviction to say what it is at any point of time and be steadfast into saying so.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they falter and therefore
yes.
it go from one crisis to another crisis and then it builds up like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there are many good people who stand by this also.
Yes.
And full hats off to them because they are at least doing it without this kind of an education
Absolutely.
That we have all got.
Absolutely. So and I think I would believe that is definitely happening now. There are a lot of good people.
Right.
Even without, having this kind of a training, there are so many inspired individuals just like who are doing fantastic good work in so many non-governmental organizations, and they may not have a Swami to guide them into take to selfless service, but they are into selfless service. Their heart calls out for that.
Because
similarly, I think there are a lot of people who stand by their principles and ethics.
Exactly.
So it's like Swami has got many different ways to
Absolutely.
Handle the world, right?
I would think. Well, it is Swami doing it in through different ways.
Different ways.
It's again, when you're talking about a lot of good people in the world, it's again another story which Swami relates to. Yudhishthir goes out and Krishna asks him to see how many good people are there. Hmm. Yudhishthir comes back and says, everyone is a good person.
Yeah.
While Duryodhana comes and says, apart from me, no one is a good person here.
Yes.
So it's
reflection.
It's more of not the srishti. It's a drishti which matters.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Duryodhana says in the Mahabharata that, I know what is right and what is wrong. It's just that I cannot follow the right. I mean, I just cannot do it. So, but I think thanks to Bhagwan that he has not only shown us what is right and wrong, but he has also told us how to take what is right and then given us the strength and the courage to go about it, and then he's always there as a backup. In case we fall, he's there to lift us up and tell, hello, don't worry. If you have fallen, don't worry. Stand up, I'm holding you, I will be with you. And as brother so beautifully put, and that is coming from years of experience of being in the corporate world, that, if you if you stick to your principles, then eventually Swami will create that space for you to work. He will create an environment where you are not put to test again and again. And slowly, I think that way you are creating an island of goodness. You are creating an island, a little prashanti, prashanti nilayam, as Brother Satyanarayana said, you know. And I think that is what is so heartening about the way Swami has touched us. If every Sai student, every Sai devotee goes about creating these little prashanti nilayams, little islands of hope, of little swargas, yes. And that is how probably the world will. Eventually, you will see a marked difference in the way the world thinks, and maybe the golden age is already here. Yeah, thank you so much, brothers. I know we can go on, but time is running out. It's past 10, so I'll have to conclude this episode of Outside Inside Deep Inside. Thank you so much for coming to the studios, and I know you just sat on the chair without any preparation. I didn't really tell you what you're going to do, but it's Swami's grace that we could continue.
Just one quick thing, this is what we were talking a little while back, you know, maybe sometime during the day, was Bhagwan, whenever we used to be having any of these programs when we were students here, if we are prepared, let's say that it has to be done in Purna Chandra, in the last minute he would say, do it in cyclothon, and it's over. So, you know, it was a total disarray. But ultimately, it used to be the best one.
Yes.
So it's kind of how we had trained us for...
Love my uncertainty.
Yes, love and uncertainty. How you have to get prepared for the uncertainty and face it.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think that was the most beautiful thing about, the most challenging thing, but at the end of it, you always found...
And he had a joy out of all of this.
He had a joy. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is what is life, isn't it? Nothing comes to you with so much of a warning. A lot of things happen to you, absolutely unexpected. And how you handle it distinguishes you from the rest. So thank you very much, brothers. We just continued, I would say, the satsang the whole day. You know, it was a different kind of satsang in the mandir, and we just sort of extended it till the end of this beautiful day of New Year and Vaikuntha Ekadashi. I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that he made it happen. Why don't we listen to Swami before we conclude?
Sure. Thank you.
Prema Swarupulara. Inaadu Nootanamena Samvatsaramu Prarambhamayindi.
Today is the commencement of the new year.
Kani, Rep Samatranaki, Tiri Rinduga Maripotundi.
Tomorrow is January 2nd.
E Vokate Rendu Ankalamatram Marakuntai Kani, Adrishtam Marad.
Only the date, first and second, change, not our fortune.
Kurve Ankalamaranthamatram, Adrishtam Marathundanima Bhavinch Kotam, Sala Parapatu.
It's a mistake to think by changing the dates and the number that Ankalamatram Marathundanima.
మన యొక్క పవిత్రమైన కర్మల కూడా దానికి మారాలి.
అవర్ సేక్రెడ్ యాక్టివిటీ ఆల్సో షుడ్ గో ఆన్ ఇంప్రూవింగ్.
అప్పుడే మన యొక్క పవిత్రత మనకు ప్రాప్తిస్తుంది.
దెన్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఆల్ ద సాంక్టిటీ ఎక్స్పెక్టెడ్.
విత్ దోస్ డివైన్ రిమైండర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ భగవాన్ బాబా, టీమ్ రేడియో సాయి విషెస్ యూ అ వండర్ఫుల్ ఇయర్ అహెడ్. మే ఆల్ ద బీయింగ్స్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ద వరల్డ్స్ బీ హ్యాపీ, హ్యాపీ అండ్ హ్యాపీ. సమస్త లోకా సుఖినో భవంతు.
So that's Swami telling us that one more day will come and go, one more year will come and do, nothing will change unless we decide to change it, and change it by first having a noble thought and then putting it into action. And I think today that's what we discussed. It's beautiful to have Satyam Vada Dharmam Charam as the motto, but the proof of the pudding is when you actually want to see it in real life. And that is what we discussed today. We hope, dear listeners, you found something meaningful and useful from the discussion today. We had three brothers, former students of Bhagwan's University, Brother Hariharan, Satyanarayan and CBS Mani, share their moments of learning at Bhagwan's lotus feet and how they see its application in their real professional lives. If you have any comments, queries or feedback, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and it's time to draw the curtains on this day-long Thursday life. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day, and as we conclude this beautiful day once again. A happy, holy, hearty, and a beautiful new year and good times ahead. And as I mentioned in the beginning, the way we can make this year beautiful is when we tune and attune ourselves to Him on this landmark year. Let us probably take to His message with an intensity that we have never done before. Because what we have now of Bhagwan is His message. That is the legacy. It is this message that will do miracles in our lives. Thank you so much. And even as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a dance drama by Balvika's children from Kerala. This was staged in front of Bhagwan on 28th August 2004. It's entitled Ambarisha. So enjoy this and keep listening. Keep tuning yourself to Radio Sai and enjoy the bliss of Sai. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.